Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go. Welcome in. It's a Friday edition of the show. You've got more of me for the next, for a while, actually, because we'll take you right till Cardinals baseball. Our coverage starts in about an hour and a half. I've got you for Cardinals pregame. Then John, Ricky, and Claves will take part in the game broadcast portion. And then I'll be back with you for the postgame show, which, depending on how long the game goes, that might be we might be spending the wee hours of the morning together. So basically what I'm telling is you got KMOX on your radio, on your Odyssey app, wherever you might be listening. No reason to turn it off. Not that there ever is. But especially tonight, we've got you covered. So here's what we're doing today. I've got a couple interviews that I'm going to play for you. Former CBC, current Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love. Got the chance to sit down and talk with him recently. He's going to join us at 6:35. We're going to talk with a guy by the name of Greg Poole. He is the he runs the Cans Ministry, which is, if you remember, there was our friend Ryan Fagan wrote a story about this in the Sporting News, a year and a half, 2 years ago, something. I'm bad with time. But wrote a story about a guy who runs a basically like a baseball card shop and uses the proceeds from that shop for charitable reasons. And it was a really, really cool story and a backstory. And I got the chance to talk with Greg recently. So we're going to play that interview for you coming up next hour. Outside of that, this is going to be your opportunity to talk with us all things Cardinals baseball. I wasn't totally sure how to approach today's show because yesterday was the day where the trade deadline had passed. So we spent the entire show kind of, going through the trade deadline and everything like that. I don't want to completely come off of that, but I do want to start looking at what this thing is going to look like moving forward and what can still be accomplished this season. Can they still have a winning record this season? Sure. Is there actually like an outside chance, really outside chance, minuscule small chance of them going on a crazy run and San Diego sort of falling on their face and Cincinnati falling back and the Cardinals sneaking into the playoffs? I don't think that's going to happen, but it would be disingenuous to say that there was a 0% chance of that happening. Crazier things have happened. But to me, it feels like there is a shift in focus. They're going to, every day, the goal is to go out and win the baseball game. But there are some other things to get done. Nolan Arenado got placed on the injured list today. He's been dealing with a shoulder issue for a while. I had a few people come at me on social media, and I know same thing happened with Kevin today because I saw some of the responses that Kevin had on social media where it felt like people were kind of not assuming but certainly questioning whether or not this Arenado injury is legit or whether or not this is an opportunity to kind of give him a break or get him out of here for a little while. And like there's enough dominoes to push down that I understand where people are coming from. If you haven't been totally paying attention to what's going on from an injury standpoint, you might not have known that he has been dealing with this shoulder, that he missed some games in July dealing with the shoulder. And that's not me being critical if you didn't know that. That's fine. You don't have to follow along on an everyday basis and know the exact ailment that every single player is dealing with. So if that kind of went over your head or you just kind of missed that, that's fine, but it was out there. So the point that I'm trying to make is for people who think that this is kind of the conspiracy theory that this isn't really a real injury, well, whether that's true or not, the evidence that would push it back in the other direction is the fact that he has been dealing with this shoulder. He has missed games because of this shoulder. It is something that has been impacting. Sidebar on that, this is part of the reason that I so often and so strongly have pushed for guys like Nolan Arenado to get more days off. You run a guy that age into the ground, and there's a higher percentage chance that he's going to be dealing with an injury. Now, could he be dealing with that exact same injury if he would have gotten a day off every week and a half for the first 3 months of the season? Yeah, we might be in the exact same spot. I'm not trying to contend here that is a 100% without a doubt fix to give him more days. But if you would have given him more days, there would be more of an opportunity for him to have less wear and tear on his body. And that's one of the things that frustrates me at times is I'm a pro-rest person when it comes to baseball players. And there's a lot of people out there that are the exact opposite. And a lot of guys are too. Like, these guys get paid good money and they want to go out and play 150 plus games a season. I get it. I respect it. I appreciate it. I think for the good of them and the good of the team sometimes, it's a little bit better to go ahead and take a step back and give a guy a day here and give a guy a few more days. And Oliver Marmol tries to, you know, with veteran players, he'll try to give a guy a day off in front of or behind an off day to stack up basically two off days in a row with the idea that that can be more impactful than the more often off days, if that makes sense, because 2 days off in a row, there's more chance for healing than kind of a random off day here and a random off day there that might accumulate to more total off days, if all that makes sense. But all right, so... I wonder what's going to happen with Arenado here moving forward, because the Cardinals need to figure out what they have in Nolan Gorman and if he can produce at the level he was producing prior to his injury and also stay healthy. And even if he stays healthy for the final 2 months of the season, honestly, I'm still going to have a little bit of a red flag on him when it comes to the injury stuff. Because he's dealt with back issues for, you know, a couple of years in a row now. And that's one of those things that if you start to see a trend of back injuries, well, then that can be a problem. That can be something that continues to pop up time and time again. And if you are relying on somebody to be an everyday guy, an every year guy for you, and they can't stay on the field all year long, and it's something like a back issue, I think that has to be taken into consideration. That being said, I think there has to be a priority right now from the St. Louis Cardinals to get Nolan Gorman in the lineup and to keep him there for 2 months and see what happens over a 2 month period. It's not 162 games. I would have loved to have seen it over 162 games, but can't go back in time. Can Nolan Gorman, over 2 months of being an everyday guy, can he produce at the level that he was producing for the few weeks leading up to his injury? And can he stay healthy? And if both those answers are yes, well, then you take that into consideration this offseason for what his future in the organization is. And other teams take it into consideration as well, because the Cardinals are going to have to move some players off of their major league roster this upcoming offseason. As I have said 9,272,541 times, I keep count, there is not a possibility that next year's Cardinals roster can include Nolan Arenado, Nolan Gorman, Brendan Donovan, Thomas Tuivasa, and J.J. Weatherholt. Like, that's just, it doesn't work. The math does not work. So, and then you can throw some other players in there as well that can be connected to it because of the fact that Donovan can play in the outfield. There's an outfield impact where we can include a Lars Nootbaar in there and an Alec Burleson. But you understand where I'm going with this. So get figured out who you want in the organization, who you don't want in the organization, who you want to make available to other teams. Because if nothing else, there is maybe the single most important thing when it comes to this whole discussion about all these players is the player who's not even here yet, and that's J.J. Weatherholt. You have to open up a door for J.J. Weatherholt, whatever it might be, whether it's going to be at second base, whether you just get blown away on an offer for a shortstop and you make the decision to move on from Mason Wynn. I don't predict that's happening, but is it an impossibility? Not an impossibility. Whether you let him have this offseason and he starts to maybe send him to the fall league and have him run in the outfield a little bit out there. I don't know what it looks like, but you have to have a plan in place. You have to roll out the carpet where J.J. Weatherholt in spring training next year has the legitimate opportunity to make the Major League roster. And once he makes the Major League roster, at that point, he's able to stay. We'll go through all the... So Nolan O'Gorman's activated. Nolan Arenado's going to the injured list. A bunch of pitchers get called up as well. We'll kind of go through that. We'll continue this discussion of what can we expect, what should... That's the theme of today's show. We are outside of the couple interviews that we have, we are going to spend the vast majority of today's show, kind of our thesis today, or our premise today, or the overlying question, and you'll have an opportunity to chime on this as well. What are expectations for the rest of the season? And when I say expectations, I'm not just saying be a winning team, get this. It goes into giving guys playing time. Like, what needs to be seen, what needs to be accomplished, expectations, whatever word and term you want to use, that's where we're going. If you want to chime in, you can do so. You can call or text 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. Call or text. You can tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauley on air. And for those of you who are watching us on the video stream, we will certainly take a look at those comments that are continuing to come in. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line. Much more coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX. Back in on a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Have you till about, 740, 745, and then we'll get into Cardinals baseball. Cardinals Padres tonight. Wouldn't it be fun? Wouldn't it just be fun if the Cardinals went into San Diego and swept them after the Padres had one of the most impactful trade deadlines? We were just talking about that at the end of Redbird Rush Hour, how impactful that trade deadline. I'm always team chaos, and I would just have to laugh if the Cardinals went into San Diego, and this is probably not going to happen, but I would have to laugh if the Cardinals went into San Diego and just obliterated them over the next 3 days. Cardinals right now, 5.5 games back of the Padres in the wild card, also 2.5 games back of the Reds, who are the first team out. We are talking through expectations for the rest of the season post-trade deadline. And like I said earlier, when I say expectations, maybe that's the wrong word to use. So maybe just what you want to see, what needs to be prioritized. For some folks, it is the opportunity for this team to go out and still have a winning record. Saw that, Justin sends in that message. Justin says he'd like to see the Cardinals finish above 500, as they did last year. It's a nice thing, right? If nothing else, it allows me to be snarky, because every time somebody says, oh, they had a losing season last year, I can be, well, actually they had a winning record last year. So if we can get some more sass from me, there you go. So that's a reason for the team to finish above 500, because you know if they finish above 500 but they still miss the playoffs, we will hear over and over how they had a losing season. And then I get to do that. So there you go. That's very self-serving on my part, isn't it, Justin? So this gets brought up a lot. And, you know, Corey said this, that the Cardinals have the 15th pick in the next draft, got to get that number up. I see this in the chat all the time. And, Corey, I'm not trying to, like, take a shot at you, because not a lot of people understand these rules. The Cardinals have had a lottery pick each of the last 2 years. They are not allowed to pick in the lottery again this year. You cannot have 3 straight years of that. So this is actually not, you know, not being good to get a draft pick doesn't really work this year. If anybody's watching and knows this off the top of my head, I'm not quite sure the highest you can draft after what that number is, the highest you can draft on these years where you're not eligible for the lottery pick. I need to look that up at some point. But the bottom line is they cannot get one of these super high-end draft picks this year based off their record, because the rules now in Major League Baseball state that you can't do that. So there you go. Got a text message that came in from our friend Teresa. Said, and this is about the Nolan Arenado thing and Arenado playing every day. Because he, in my opinion, he plays too much. And this, that actually, it's not connected to his production, but it is. I would, anybody that age, I would give more time off, and I wouldn't let them talk their way into the lineup. And Ollie, to his credit, addressed this on Gas House Gang, I think this week, what that looks like, what the process is for when he makes the decision on guys taking days off, how much he told the story of Brendan Donovan was obviously in the All-Star game. So that first game back from the All-Star game, he was going to give Donovan the day because Donovan didn't really get the All-Star break. Everybody else got the 4 days off. Donovan had to travel in, had the first day of the All-Star, then Tuesday, then he just got, you know, Wednesday and is traveling again on Thursday. So the idea was to give Donovan that first day back off so he can have a little bit more of a break. And Donovan walked into his office and said no, and Donovan ends up in the lineup. So this is what Teresa said in the text message. Said, even Ollie stated that Arenado loves to play. He's loyal to the game, but he pushes himself. I have no reason to think he has the shoulder problems. Most likely pushed himself through. I have no reason to think that he had the shoulder problems and most likely pushed himself through that. Yeah, he's had the shoulder issue, and he's tried to play through it. And I always like to remind folks, you can, I don't think the shoulder injury is any worse today where he's going on the injured list than it was, say, a week ago when he was going to play through it. What's the difference now, though? At some point, the dynamics of the team changes. There are injuries that players try to play through that are injuries that are legitimate enough to go on the injured list. Major League Baseball does have rules about you have to actually be injured to go on the injured list. I think sometimes think that you can just sort of make up an injury. And I'll even say it sometimes. I'll say, you know, you go find an injury. Well, you can. You more often than not, by the time we're talking at 6:27 p.m. on Friday, August 1st, you can go to just about any player playing Major League Baseball and you can find an injury. And you can find an injury that's probably severe enough to put them on the injured list. Most players have enough things going on their bodies that you can find that. So when I'm saying go find an injury, I've never meant that as go make up an injury. That's not something that you're supposed to. I think the process for it is there actually has to be some doctor documentation that goes along with a player going on to the injured list. It was the Mets, I believe, who got dinged last year, 2 years ago, time runs together. But I believe it was the Mets who got dinged, and somebody lost their job over the fact that they were making up injuries. That is something that Major League Baseball, I don't know how seriously they take it. I'm sure there's times where teams can fudge it just a little bit, but if it crosses a line, Major League Baseball is going to realize it, and they are going to they're going to do something about it. So, you can have an injury. You can be trying to play through it. It can be something, but that can be something that you end up on the injured list. And I think that's what's going on right now with Arenado. Could he try to gut it out every single night and continue to play through this thing? Sure, he could. But who benefits from that? What is the benefit of a Nolan Arenado where he is completely compromised and he's not putting together a very good season? What is the benefit to him just trying to gut it out every night just to get in there and just to play and even to honor the game of game of baseball and to honor his team that, hey, he's getting paid good money. His job is to go out there and play. Like I respect and I appreciate all of that, but he's going to benefit from getting healthy. The team is going to benefit from a different player playing third because you're probably going to get better production because Arenado has really struggled this year. Offensively, not defensively. Defense, you're taking a step back. I'm not trying to completely gloss over that. That is something. It's not everything. It is something. But more importantly, from a team perspective, it goes back to what I was talking about earlier where you give the opportunity to Gorman. By the way, thanks to Brian, who's listening. I wasn't able to look this up, and he did it for me. Highest the Cardinals can pick this year is 10th. So that is the absolute highest that they are going to be able to pick this year. It's not going to be another opportunity where they can pick 5th or they can pick 7th like they have over the last couple of years. That's part of the new rules that go along with Major League Baseball with the lottery. So this is not a... this is not a punt on the season and lose as many games as possible for a draft pick. Essentially, there is no draft pick to be gained by doing that this year. We will take a break and we'll return. We're actually going to, I got the chance recently to talk with Jeremiah Love. If you don't know that name, he's actually a kind of a dark horse candidate for the Heisman Trophy this year in college football. When you look at the non-quarterbacks out there in college football that have maybe a look at the Heisman, Jeremiah Love is right there with a couple, two, three other players, probably right there. He's a CBC guy, and he's now playing at Notre Dame. I recently got the chance to talk with him, really enjoyed our conversation. So we'll get mostly baseball today, mostly Cardinals today, but we'll jump out for just a couple moments, and we're going to talk with Jeremiah Love, Notre Dame running back and former CBC football player. Jeremiah Love joins the program in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. I'll tell you what, it is a pleasure to be able to talk with Jeremiah Love. Of course, a St. Louis and a guy went to CBC, doing really big things right now at Notre Dame. Looking forward to seeing what the Fighting Irish can do. He joins us right now in studio. Great to see you. Great to meet you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing great.
So take me through the timeline. You guys should be out practicing here very, very soon. The season's right around the corner, right?
Yep. Report date is Sunday. We start everything Monday, so... going to get everything rolling. I'm honestly excited. You know, I'm ready to just go out there and just play some football. I'm ready for that first game, too.
Such a great season last year. Doesn't finish the way you guys probably would have liked it to. Does that stick in your mind, or does that season end and the, you know, slate is kind of wiped clean?
For me, I would say it's kind of in my mind a little bit, but it's not like I'm using it as like I need to make it back to the national championship and win. It's more like, you know, we know what it takes, or I know what it takes, you know, be able to do what I got to do for my team and help us, you know, put ourselves back in that position to, you know, be in a national championship. But not necessarily like, oh, I got to make it back. It's just I want to be better than I was last year. So I'm going to use that game as, you know, just a thing to look back on to, you know, better myself, you know, and just make sure that this season is preparation wise better, recovery wise better, and, you know, hopefully, you know, God willing, we reach a better result than we did last year if we are to, you know, make it back to the national championship.
We all know Notre Dame is a really, really special place in the history of the program. I've been in South Bend. I've gotten to be in the locker room, things like that. Just everything around you, it just kind of yells you. Do you take a step back ever and kind of look around and just go, this is a really cool place that I get to represent?
Oh, yeah, definitely. When I first was being recruited by Notre Dame, I didn't really know much about the history and the traditions of this place. So as I've grown accustomed to, like, the traditions and gotten to know more about the history of Notre Dame, you know, sometimes I do step back and just, like, think to myself, like, wow, you know, I'm really blessed to, you know, be a part of, you know, this history and tradition that Notre Dame, you know, holds dear to their hearts. So I definitely do take a step back sometimes, just, you know, look at it all and just realize, you know, how much God does in my life.
You've got kind of a cool footnote about your career because you scored the first ever touchdown in the history of the 12-team playoff, and it was quite the touchdown, 98-yard run against Indiana. I know you've had so many big moments, but that's a really cool thing to be part of. How often, not just that moment, but other big plays throughout your career, how often do you maybe reflect upon those?
I try not to, you know, look at things too much. But when I do see, you know, plays like the 98-yard touchdown, or, you know, the 2-yard Penn State run, you know, a bunch of my hurdles, like whenever I do look back, it's just like, man, I've come a long way. And, you know, I'm just, you know, glad that, you know, people can, you know, see how special I am, and I'm, you know, glad to be on a big enough stage to showcase, you know, my talents that I was gifted with by God. So I definitely, you know, do look back sometimes and just, you know, reflect and just be in like a wow type of state.
You mentioned the hurdles. How much time is there between that final decision, I'm going to do this, and actually doing it?
There's like almost no time. Like it's almost just predetermined. Like there's no hesitation whatsoever. It's just, it's going to happen, and it's either going to end bad or it's going to, you know, end good. And most of the time it ends good.
A lot of athletes like to set goals. Your name has very much been connected to maybe the Heisman. Is that on your list of goals? Is that something that you're able to think about?
I'll put it like this, like who wouldn't want to win the Heisman?
Yeah.
So it's on my mind, but it's not my main focus. My main focus for this upcoming season is to be better than I was last year. You know, just be a better Jeremiah Love as an athlete and as a person, so that I can help my team, you know, achieve some type of success. And whether that's to win a national championship or, you know, go to a pretty big bowl game, whatever it may be, you know, I just want to be the best version of me. And the best version of me might end up, you know, winning the Heisman. So, you know. I think about it sometimes, but it's not my main focus.
We're talking with Notre Dame's Jeremiah Love. St. Louis connection at Notre Dame. Another guy's had some big moments in Christian Gray. He's a DeSmet guy. Did you guys know each other growing up in St. Louis at all? Play against each other? Was there any connection there?
No, I mean, knew him in high school.
Yeah.
Not like talked to him too much, but, you know, he went to a rival school. We were both committed to Notre Dame, so, like, you know, obviously we're communicating a little bit, but... me and Christian, and when I went to CBC, he went to DeSmet. We used to duke it out.
Yeah.
So I would say I'm up in a series. Two back-to-back state championships. He can't say that. So, but seriously, me and Christian, great. You know, he's a great friend. You know, we're pretty tight as far as, in college. But, like, growing up in, you know, in high school, we didn't really talk much. But, you know, both committed to Notre Dame. So that connection was there.
Last thing for you. I know you're working on a comic that's focused on your life. Can you talk a little bit about that process, what it's going to look like, how folks can get their hands on it eventually?
Oh, yeah. So comic book coming out in September is called Jeremiah Monstar. Basically telling my life in a comic book form, making it more fun. The comic is meant for basically all ages, but, you know, most people who read comics are probably, you know, younger people. So, no, like, disrespect to my older people out there that read comics, but... yeah, the comic's meant for, you know, all audiences. Decided to write a comic because, you know, football has done a lot in my life. And the comic is kind of my way to give back to the game, but also kind of my way to educate, you know, people or kids growing up, you know, wanting to play football, educate them about what it really takes to, you know, make it far in football, or what it really takes to, you know, make it far in any sport in general or just life in general. Like, so basically just want to teach them, you know, to be consistent, have discipline. And, you know, just things like that. But Jeremiah Star is set to come out in September. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Where's it? How can folks get their hands on it once it's out?
So we have a website. It'll be I'll be doing like a bunch of stuff on social media. I'll be pushing out the website. You'll just be able to get it there along with some of our merch as well.
Cool. So. We'll try to get you back on when that comes out and push it a little bit, if that's all right.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's Jeremiah Love. We'll take a break. Have more coming up in just a moment here on a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Got you for about an hour longer tonight. We'll get you into Cardinals baseball this evening. They match up against the Padres. Matthew Liberatore against Nick Pivetta. That is the pitching matchup tonight. And first pitch is at 8:45. 5. There we go. I just know what time pregame starts, and then I have to like try to do the math in my head of when that means the game is going to start. But 8:45 tonight, that means pregame coverage at 7:50. So yeah, we've got about an hour left here of a Graybar Sports Open Line. If you want to chime in, this is the opportunity for you to do so. We've got some time available for you to call, text, tweet, or leave a message on the video chat. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. I always recommend just save that number into your phone, because you're going to be in this moment where you want to call or text and you go, he says the number over and over, but I can't remember it. Well, just save it in your phone. 314-436-7900. Call, text. You can tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air, or you can leave a message on the video chat if you're watching us this evening. And we appreciate everybody being tuned in for sure. They're playing the Padres. The last time they played the Padres, there absolutely were some there was some tension between the two teams. Can we say that? Henry sends in a message, says, do you think there's going to be any fireworks between the Cardinals and the Padres tonight? Maybe. There's your non-answer. How about that? I try not to give non-answers. I feel like tonight's almost going to be like a celebration for the Padres because of what they did at the deadline. They put together such an impressive cycle of moves that they made, where their team is really good. And their team was really good before all of that. But to be able to go in and to add bats like Ryan O'Hearn and Ramon Laureano, they get a new catcher in Freddie Fermin. You've got a back-end relief pitcher in Mason Miller. J.P. Sears is another guy that they bring in. Like, there is such excitement in San Diego for this team, and there's a bunch of new guys on the roster as well. If none of this would have happened, I would have thought there would still be an opportunity for maybe there to be something lingering from when these two teams played the four-game series in St. Louis, and obviously there was some animosity between the two. I kind of openly wonder, does that get pushed down because of the excitement of all these players coming in for the Padres? But maybe. That's only one side of it. We'll see what happens on the other side of it. And Wilson Contreras gets hit a lot, right? Wilson Contreras, I'm not breaking any news here. And it's something that has been a thing for him for a while. So pitchers don't even need to be trying to hit Contreras, and there is a good chance he gets hit. So if Contreras gets hit tonight or gets hit in this series, but especially tonight in the opener, that could just open the wound back up, and we could be right back where we are with those high tensions. And that could just happen by accident, because again, you pitch Contreras inside, there's a good chance you're going to hit him. And if you hit him, because he's been hit so many times this year, even though a lot of it is connected to the way he positions himself, he is at times he is as responsible for being hit as the pitcher is, even though he'll get upset at the pitcher. If he gets upset in that situation, then who knows? So something to watch and to listen for sure. That's going to be down the list of priorities for the Padres tonight, on a night where they're really going to be celebrating these new players. Don't you kind of miss that too, by the way? I mean, I'm not trying to lament too much right now, but how many times can you remember of the Cardinals making a big move in the middle of the season and just being able to be at Busch Stadium for the first time that person comes up to the plate and giving them the standing ovation? Countless times in my life I've been like, I remember like it was yesterday with the moment that the McGuire trade went down, and I told my dad, we gotta get tickets. And I remember where I was sitting at Old Busch, and just him coming to the plate for the first time ever as a Cardinal. He still had the green tape on his bat. He didn't have the red tape yet because he was coming over from the A's. Still has the green tape. Hits the home, like the whole thing. It was, I miss those moments. I do. I miss those moments. And I know there's a lot of cynics who are listening and watching this show right now who think that the path that the Cardinals have been on here in recent history is the path that they are going to remain on. That's, I don't believe that. I don't agree with that. I think the Cardinals are on a path where they are going to be a legitimate contender once again. It's just going to take a little bit of time. And I don't know what that timeline looks like. If you would have asked me, let's just say I think that timeline might extend a little bit further out based off what I've seen and heard over the last few days as compared to where I was before. But I don't know. Again, and that can change too. That was one of the things I thought was interesting about this season. So, because I saw this in Milwaukee. Again, I always hate bringing up my Milwaukee stuff, but I saw this happen in Milwaukee. The Brewers had like this long multi-year plan when David Stearns came in. And then they really overachieved one year. That was like, what, 2016, I guess? They didn't make the playoffs in 2016, but they really overachieved, and they were in the playoff race until, if I remember correctly, I think the second to last day of the season. And at that moment, the organization actually pivoted a little bit where they felt like they were further along than where they thought they were going to be when the season got started. And then that led into the offseason where they brought in Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain. So having lived through that, having covered the Brewers during that time, as this season was going really well, as the Cardinals were winning a lot of games, as the Cardinals were well above 500, as the Cardinals were sitting in a playoff position, as all those things were true, and as I was starting to project out what this might mean for the organization moving forward, I kept coming back to that year with 2016 in Milwaukee, because that was the start of it. And we all know what the Brewers have done since then and what they continue to do right now. That started their run. And because of the way they performed that year, even in a non-playoff year, they felt like they were more at a ready to win at the major league level spot. I was wondering to myself as this year went along before this last month, where they have now fallen back to 500 when they were 9 games above 500 about a month ago. I was wondering to myself, okay, even if they don't make the playoffs, even if they fall back a little bit, but they remain in legitimate playoff contention until the end of the year, does that change what this organization does this upcoming offseason going into next year, because there is a feeling or there is a belief that this team is further along than where they thought they were going to be when the season got started? And is that still on the table? Yes, that is still on the table. Is it a legit possibility? That's where I start to waver a little bit, because we know the team has not played good baseball for the last month. We know that they trail the Padres by 5.5 games for the final playoff spot in the National League. We know that the Padres just bought in a big way, and we know that the Reds just bought. Not so much in a big way, but they bought. So it doesn't look good. And that's where I start to wonder again, what is it going to look like going into next season? And how much of a priority will the organization have on the major league roster for next year? Because we know this focus on player development and this focus on getting more talent in the organization, even if that talent is years away, that is something that is absolutely going to continue this offseason. That has to be the meat and potatoes of what this team does to win at the absolute highest level. Those are the things they have to do. Where are they going to think? What do they think about the ability to compete next year? And what is that going to look like in the offseason? And how much money can they spend, right? That's part of it. How much is this going to be another offseason where essentially they spend no money? They spent $2 million this year on Phil Maton. And now it turns out they're not even spending the full $2 million because they traded Maton away. So the Texas Rangers are covering up the final, you know, third or so of that $2 million. So you spent $1.4 million actually in the offseason in terms of money that you are actually paying. What is it going to look like this year? There's going to be there's probably not enough starting pitching in the organization to cover the rotation next year. We know that Miles Michaelis is walking out the door. Even if you do have a rotation with Sonny Gray, Matthew Liberatore, Andre Pallante, and Michael McGreevy, where's your fifth guy? Is there any reason to really think that Quinn Matthews is for sure going to be ready to start the season next year? Probably not. We'll see what happens for the next 2 months with him at Memphis and if he turns it on and maybe gets an opportunity. But he has not developed as quickly this year as the thought was that he would this year. And that's okay, too, because guys develop at different paces. And he went through four levels in 1 year last year. So it's okay if he slows down just a bit. We'll continue this conversation after the 7 o'clock news right here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Have about 45 minutes left in the program as we get into hour number two, or the second hour that we are on, because we won't be on the full hour. We'll get you to Cardinals baseball. The Cardinals are in San Diego. They match up against the Padres this evening. Cardinals have Matthew Liberatore on the mound, 6-8. Nick Pivetta is going for the Padres. And then the pitching matchups for the rest of the series tomorrow. Michael McGreevy is set to go against Randy Vasquez. And on Sunday, it's going to be Andre Pallante who's going to match up against Dylan Cease. A lot of people thought the Padres were going to trade away Cease. There was rumors about that before the trade deadline, and then even after some moves were made throughout the deadline, there was indications that they may move him. They don't move him, and Padres right now on paper look really, really good. They obviously play in a division that has the Dodgers. We'll see what it looks like for them as they. You would assume head towards the postseason. Nothing is guaranteed when you change out that many players, 5-6 guys off the major league roster. So, you know, they changed out, 15-18% of their entire roster. You never really know if there is going to be a negative impact to that. But I think I follow along with a lot of Padres people on social media, and I see nothing but excitement. Nothing but excitement about this group, and now we'll see what the Cardinals are able to do against them. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how to call. That's how to text. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Or you can leave a comment in the chat if you happen to be watching us on the video chat. The moves the Cardinals made today, and we've talked a lot about the first one, that Nolan Arenado's on the injured list and Nolan Gorman has been activated. Gorman is going to start at third base today. I think it's a safe bet that Gorman is going to play a lot of third base here moving forward. You still have Thomas Sagesi on the roster. And I know in a perfect world, you would probably want to get Sagesi, being a young guy. He has not played that much. We saw earlier this season what he could be. And then he was really performing at a high level. There just wasn't a spot for him on the roster anymore. And he ended up being sent down to AAA, and now he's back, and the numbers have not been as good. But Gorman will start at third base. He'll bat six. With all due respect to Thomas Sagesi, and I'm a Sagesi fan, I think he's going to be a really good big leaguer, and I'm going to be interested to see whether or not that's going to happen with the Cardinals or not, because as we've talked about a lot, just the redundancy on the roster and how the numbers don't work, and there's a handful of players that are kind of in a bucket where two or three of the guys do need to get moved at some point in time. So anyways, Gorman's there. I think they have to get this 2 month look at Gorman. Almost no matter how it looks, let him be in the lineup every day. This goes when the season got started and they were using the term runway, we applied it to Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker. And bluntly, neither of those guys have gotten the runway this year that we thought they were going to get. Now's the chance. Jordan Walker, and we'll see what happens when Lars Nootbaar's back. Nootbaar's going to be back sooner than later for sure, and that's going to create another roster crunch. That's part of the reason why I was not against this team moving on from a position player at the trade deadline. And I understand and I actually respect the reason that they didn't. Because a lot of people were very critical of John Mozeliak and company for not moving at least one position player. I think if what I'm about to say is true, I understand and I respect it. I think they were working really hard at any player that was in the organization that the club had control on past this year that they were going to keep in the organization. That way, the decision with said player could be made exclusively by Heimblum as he takes over. So you've got the cabinet full of all your assets, and you're not anything that's going to stay in there till next year, past this season. You're going to leave in there and shut the door, and then Heimblum can do whatever he wants to do. I think there's some common sense in that, right? I think there's some logic in that. If Heim walks in and he says, I value Brendan Donovan more than I value Nolan Gorman, or I value Nolan Gorman more than I value Thomas Ajayi, or I value Thomas Ajayi more than I value Nolan Arenado, like whatever. If he comes in and he says those things, then there can be a clear path on what players you'd like to move on from and what players you want to be part of your future moving forward. Now, people listening to this are going to say, well, couldn't have they done that now? Heim was in the room. Couldn't have that happened now? Yeah, it could have. Like, I don't have much of a response to that, to be honest with you, other than the fact that this was Mo's final decisions to be made. I think Heim had a lot of input when it came to what the Cardinals were getting back. But in terms of actually trading players off this current roster, that was Mo's responsibility. But I would have liked, in a perfect world, I probably would have liked to have seen one of those players get moved. Whether it was Nolan Gorman or Nolan Arenado or Brendan Donovan or Lars Nootbaar or Thomas Sejasi, like whoever, I probably would have liked to have seen one of those guys get moved just so we're not in this exact same spot of talking through how in the world do you get these guys the opportunity to be everyday guys. Because when you sell off, and again, I want to be very clear, the Cardinals every single day, Oliver Marmol and company every single day, are going to walk out there with the intention to win a baseball game. I don't know how often that's actually going to happen, but that is going to be the intention. Every single day, they're going to walk into a ballpark and they're going to try to win the game that night. But after you sell off at the deadline, and the teams that you are contending against for the final playoff spot in the National League each go out and make moves to get better, there is some honesty that has to go along with this as well. So now what can you accomplish in these final 2 months? If being a playoff team is an unlikelihood, then what can make you better moving forward? And what can make you better moving forward is what was talked about before opening day this year, but never really actually happened this year. And that was Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker being given said runway. It's kind of funny that we're back here at 7:14 p.m. on Friday, August 1st. We're kind of back to where we're at because, honestly, I always say, you can always check back anything I've ever said. Every single show I do here on KMOX, it is archived. It is on the podcast page. You can go back and listen to it. And if you listen to anything that we said on this show, on Gas House Gang, whatever, leading into the season, we talked over and over and over about Walker and Gorman, Walker and Gorman, Walker and Gorman. Those were the two names that we mentioned most often coming into this season. And there was also an assumption that Nolan Arenado was going to be moved. I think my prediction for Arenado getting moved was like 90%. And if he would have accepted the trade to Houston, I would have been right, but I was wrong. He did not accept that trade. He did not get moved. But it's finally at a point where if you went into the season saying you want to give every day at bats to Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker, well, now's the time to do it. Do it now. And whatever the cost of that is, that's the cost. If the cost of giving Jordan Walker at bats every day is Lars Nootbaar not being an everyday guy, as much as I like Nootbaar, as much as I believe that this guy can turn into a big-time impact player, again, under the category of things that I was wrong on this year, I remember we were doing a show right before the season started, and Kevin and I are making predictions about the year, and my prediction was about how great of a season Nootbaar was going to have. Well, that hasn't happened. I was wrong on that. If getting Walker in the lineup every day means less time for Nootbaar, even when he's back healthy, I'm fine with that. If getting Nolan Gorman in the lineup every day means that Nolan Arenado kind of moves into a part-time player role or just doesn't play again this year, where this shoulder is actually something that could potentially end his season, if that's the path that they go down, I'm not going to be upset about that, because then they'll finally be able to do what we thought they were going to be able to do when the season got started. And maybe that gives you some answers when it comes to Gorman and to Walker. That's something that you would like them to do. The bullpen piece is going to be interesting. I've been trying to get to this literally from the first segment, and I keep jumping on the old frontage road and going down a different path. I promise you I'll get to this at some point because I do want to talk about the relief pitchers that were brought up today. I think three times in this show I've started reading like the transactions of the day, and I've started with the Arenado thing, and then I've just pontificated for the next 10 minutes. So I will get into the relief pitcher stuff, the three guys being called up today, what it might look like moving forward, which I think is very, very interesting here with this club. But up next, we are going to shift gears for a few moments. We're going to talk with Greg Poole. Greg Poole runs a really interesting nonprofit based around a baseball card shop. He's involved with the Cardinals a little bit this year because the Cardinals are allowing him to sell some of his stuff at the Authentic stores. They've got two Authentic stores, one inside the ballpark, one at Ballpark Village. I got the chance recently to talk with Greg Poole. You'll hear that conversation coming up in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Very happy to welcome on to the program. I hope a lot of people who are listening to this maybe read the story that our really good friend Ryan Fagan wrote last year in the Sporting News about a charitable organization called Cans Cans. It's a trading card shop, like a baseball card shop, that the proceeds go to different charitable endeavors. And I'm doing a terrible job of explaining what it is, but the lucky thing is I don't have to do that because Greg Poole is here, and he is the guy who's behind all of it. Greg, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Thank you for having me in. And I've started it, been with it from the beginning, and I'll probably do a worse job explaining, so that's okay.
No, it's incredible because you have brought together two things that you're passionate about, trading cards and helping people, and those things somehow, some way work together. Explain for our listeners how that is.
It is an interesting marriage. And what's funny is when we are in the different worlds, sometimes it's hard to marry the nonprofit to the card shop and then the card shop to the nonprofit. So, so we're an organization. We're 25 years old this October. So we have started a card shop in our local town for the last 5 years. This will be 5 years. So we are just like any other card shop that you go into. And the only difference is 100% of what we sell, we donate or we use to fund our specific programs in our community. Everything from a meal delivery for shut-ins to beds for foster kids, school supplies for teachers, really any kind of need that we have in the community. We don't necessarily have a specific service area, but any community need is funded by the shop.
The cards have really come back around. I collected baseball cards when I was little, and not that they went away, but in the last few years, there's been an explosion in interest. So it's been a good time. What, just as a card connoisseur, what has led to this resurgence in trading cards and baseball cards?
So COVID really helped. I guess it didn't help much, but if you're in the card industry, it definitely helped. A lot of people were at home and obviously couldn't do much else. So there was a renaissance of people going to their closets, reliving their childhood, you know, through the boxes that their mom saved, if they were lucky enough that their mom saved them and didn't throw them out. So that's really led to a resurgence. Topps being recently purchased by Fanatics, they've done a wonderful job of bringing celebrities in, kind of making it cool. It's not always been the coolest thing in the world to be a sports card nerd, but there's companies out there bringing it to a bigger audience, and so that has helped as well. And in our area specifically, when you have regional teams like the Cardinals and the Cubs in your area, there's always that those shoppers looking for those specific items.
Your charitable like focus is not focused. It's large. There's a lot of people, a lot of demographics that are impacted by you. That's another interesting thing here, because a lot of times when you think about nonprofits, the people that they're helping maybe fit in a certain group. For you, there's so many people you impact. How did that end up playing out?
So really, it was just being who you needed when you were a kid. And so me growing up and kind of going through some of the things that I went to, nobody's needs really fit a mold. And so if we have the funds, our goal is to not say no. And so we've always had the philosophy that if, you know, we can serve students, but if a hungry senior citizen comes in or needs a meal, we're not going to tell them no just because we've served a student. All that means for us is that we have to go to the showcase and find something else that we can sell and raise that funds, in which, again, the shop provides the vast majority of our funds. Even though we're an all-volunteer organization, nobody gets paid. We don't receive any kind of state funding or state grants or anything from government facilities. It's all sports cards. So it is the most stressful and yet freeing thing. We're not married to anybody. We can help anybody in need. It is a little stressful sometimes, though, when you don't know how you're going to get there. But we've gotten there for 25 years.
I've known people who have run card businesses. I mean, just you're open on weekends, but that does... The industry and going to shows and just the process of acquiring, that doesn't that take a lot of time and work?
It takes a lot of time, yes. It does. Sometimes sleep is a very uncommon thing that happens around our house. But yeah, like I said, we've managed to make it work. We've been around this long. But yeah, so we do our best to be as member of as many Facebook groups as we can, or we do go to shows. Both regionally, and we have attended the national a few times. So yeah, that is time consuming, but when it's a passion, it doesn't ever feel like it is.
So this is, I just, for folks listening, maybe parents out there that have kids that collect cards, you can kill two birds with one stone, get some trading cards for the kids, and also help out with some really cool charitable endeavors that CanCans does. For folks who want to do that, where's the store? What's the best way to do all this?
So we are here at Busch Stadium. We are in the Authentic store in center field and in Ballpark Village. So we have our repacks. We call them Stadium Rips. You can pick items up there. The store is in Benton, Illinois, 205 Bailey Lane. We are also online at canscanbenton.org. We are only open on the weekends. This isn't our day job. It's all volunteers, so we're in there on the weekends. However, if you're traveling through for whatever reason, if life brings you to Southern Illinois and you want to stop by the shop, you can always message us on our Facebook page or on our website and just say you want to stop by, and we'll be there to greet you with a smile.
All right, that sounds very good. That's a great Saturday activity for a family. Make the trip to Benton and make sure to get over to the card shop and take advantage. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your charitable spirit. You are making the world better, and I am very appreciative for that.
Well, thank you for your time, and really it would not be possible without, you know, doing things like this, without what the Cardinals have done for us. So even though I guess we are the main part or the driving part, the people that come alongside us. It wouldn't be possible without that.
That's Greg Poole. We'll take a break. Have more coming up in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
10 minutes left on this edition of the program. We are taking you tonight till 7:40, about 5 minutes, and then pregame coverage will begin at 7:45. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. A few more minutes if you want to get in here. If you'd like to, at 314-436-7900, call or text. Probably at this point, texting in would be the best way to get your message on the air. Or for those of you watching on the video stream, we can still take your comments on there. Got a text message from a texter from the 618 said, Mo in his news conference yesterday said that they were open to trading a position player, but no one gave them a decent return or were not very interested. That's not completely what Mo said. I understand why you may have heard it that way, but that's not what Mo said. What Mo said was they would have been okay trading someone. He didn't specifically say position players. He was talking about players with years of control beyond this one. So those were position players. Did mention a number of the left-hand bats, but said the terminology that he used was that they were not blown away by an offer. Did not say that no one gave them a decent return. Said no one was blew them away with an offer. So it's a difference that also has a distinction. And I'm not like trying to be a jerk about it, but I guarantee you there were teams that were interested in Brendan Donovan. There were teams that were interested in other players like Alec Burleson and Nolan Gorman and maybe Lars Nootbaar. Players who had control beyond this year, it was going to take an extreme offer to get the Cardinals to move any of those players. There was interest. I'm sure the offers were respectable. They were offers that did not blow the Cardinals away. So it wasn't about a decent return. It was about a blow-away offer. And they didn't get that. And with that, they prioritized keeping the players in the organization that they had control on beyond this year. So that's what Mo said. And I understand it. I'm not angry about it. I just know that if there was one less player on this roster, post Nolan Arenado even going on the injured list, if there was one less player on the roster, things would be kind of easier when we talk about this roster crunch and playing time and runway and all the things that we have discussed throughout the show and throughout the weeks and the months and everything leading up to this year. All right, let's finally get to this thing that I have been wanting to talk about since the show got started. I am not going to lead this time when going into the transactions talking about Nolan Arenado going to the injured list. We've touched on that a fair amount of times throughout the program. The Cardinals, with three relief pitchers being traded, had to bring in three relief pitchers up from Memphis. And at least to start, those three relief pitchers are Andre Granillo, Ryan Fernandez, and Rodery Munoz. I've got thoughts on all three. I'm glad that Granillo's back. I think he's done a really, really good job at the major league level. He looks like a big league reliever. Is he always scoreless? No, but who is? I think they may have found something in Granillo, and he's a guy that you appreciate because he put up monster numbers at AAA and just kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it and finally forced his way onto the major league roster, and he has been very good since getting to the big league. So happy to see Granillo back. I'm excited to see Ryan Fernandez. And there's a lot of people who push back on Fernandez because of how he looked when the season got started. And there's no guarantee that it's going to be better this time around. I think a lot of people forget how good he was last year. Now, last year actually in some ways hurt his development because as a Rule 5 guy, you had to keep him on the major league roster. So the year started with him being in a bunch of low leverage spots, and then he really turned it on and got into some high leverage spots, but then kind of petered out as the year went along. So him getting some legitimate time this year at AAA, I would guess has been very good for his development. The numbers have gotten better. The numbers for him at AAA were really bad at the beginning because they were kind of stripping him down and redoing some things. And even when the numbers got better, they left him at AAA because there was still more that they wanted to accomplish with him before getting him back. So Fernandez is
makeup and what he can do speaks for itself. I'm excited to see what it's going to look like. And then Rodri Munoz is back. And if you listen to me much during spring training, you know that Munoz was on my list of guys who I was most impressed by in spring training. Now, if you fall in love with guys in spring, more often than not, you're going to end up being disappointed. He has struggled this year at the big league level to a 8.10 ERA. His minor league numbers this year at Memphis, 3.95 ERA. 54 strikeouts in 41 innings, though. That's the thing that you really take note of. There's going to be some other guys. I realize what I'm about to say sounds kind of wacky because Ryan Helsley and Phil Maton and Steven Matz, but especially those first two, were such a big part of the Cardinals when they were able to win close games. Those guys were involved in it. In many ways, Phil Maton has been about as important as anybody on this team this year. And I'm not saying they're not going to miss those guys, but I like this collection of arms that the Cardinals have. And while they may not be able to replicate Helsley or Maton, and I'm not saying that they're going to, I think the group that they have is going to be a solid group of players. What worries me now is what that Memphis shuttle looks like. Because now all of a sudden, the guys who have been on the shuttle, the Matt Swansons, the Gordon Graceffos, the Andre Granillos, the guys being called up today, probably minus Munoz, I would still think he would be kind of one of those shuttle guys. The depth that you had for relief pitching between the big leagues and Memphis, it's kind of gone away. And how they are going to address that and handle that, especially there's going to be times where the bullpen gets taxed. There's going to be some guys who are given some opportunities here. That's one area where I'm concerned now. I'm concerned. And it's not if that's your biggest area of concern after, you know, from the impact of trades, it's not really that big of a deal. Like if they would have moved some position players and I was talking about the offense, then that is the bigger concern. Again, my concern about the offense not scoring runs is a bigger concern about what I'm talking about, but the offense not scoring runs has nothing to do with the trade deadline. That's just the fact that they haven't scored many runs lately, and you want to see them go ahead and start doing that. That would be a preferred situation for them to figure that out. Are there going to be moments where the Cardinals have some late leads, some close leads, some high leverage situations, and a Matt Swanson or Riley O'Brien or a Gordon Graceffo or any of these guys don't perform and all of a sudden you find yourself on the wrong side of the score? Yeah, that's likely to happen. And situations where if you would have had Phil Maton, if you would have had Ryan Helsley, if you would have had Steven Matz, maybe it would have gone in a different direction. But I still feel really good about this bullpen group, the guys who have been here this year, and what it's going to look like moving forward. Not going to match their performance, but I think it's going to be at least a very respectable performance from those guys moving forward. That is just about it. Going to do it for this show today. Thanks so much for being tuned in. Have enjoyed the last couple of days. We've done almost full shows. We're 20 minutes short of a full show today. Just coming off the trade deadline and really being able to dive into so many things going on with this team and with this organization. It's been fun. It's been interesting. We'll have some shows next week, too. They play the Dodgers to start next week, some more West Coast action. So I think some of those days our pregame show is after 8 o'clock. So we'll have the full two-hour Sports Open Line coming up for some of the days coming up next week as well. So we'll have an opportunity to continue to dive in. Cardinals baseball is on the way next. Again, the pitching matchup tonight, Matthew Liberatore, lefty, on the mound for the Cardinals. He comes in 6-8, 4.04 ERA. Nick Pivetta, who's having one heck of a season, 10-3, 2.81 ERA. He's going to go for the Padres tonight. It's the Cardinals, it's the Padres, and it's on the way next right here on your home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.